The big news out of obviously yesterday, I'm going to cover the kind of two or three main tenets, but obviously you'll know YouTube won't like these. So, you know, consider picking up some coffee brand coffee. The big news out of yesterday is everything that happened and the fallout thereafter. And I think while the fallout is important, it's also kind of a trap where a lot of people end up endlessly discussing impossible solutions to a one in a million scenario type thing that keeps happening. But a lot of people will come out and they'll speak their party lines and they'll talk about the exact same things that, you know, people always do, and talk about not focusing on the absolute loser that is no longer with us anymore. And I think that that's important. And also, I want to give a huge shout out to the officers involved. We're going to take a look at some footage, or at least discuss the footage that was released this morning. They acted quickly, bravely, with precision, and saved many lives. It was an adrenaline-filled, adrenaline-pumping, you know, three-minute montage of camera footage that really made me proud of these individuals, even though I don't really know them. Last night, it was revealed that there was kind of, we know that there is a quote-unquote manifesto somewhere. I don't know if we're ever going to see that. I certainly hope it gets released today. It's kind of the last piece of the puzzle, so everyone can kind of put it together and then move forward and look for its solutions. But there was some direct messages sent on Instagram literally minutes before the event. At 9:57 a.m., a former middle school basketball teammate of the loser looked at her phone to find a message from her on Instagram. Averinia Patton said that she saw the message that the loser planned to not survive the day and that Patton would see it on the news. In the message Patton provided to News Channel 5, this is a local Nashville news source. It's reputable from my contacts in the area, so, you know, these messages appear to be real. In the messages she would provide, so the loser told Patton that she would see her again in another life, and that she no longer wanted to live. And here you see the message, the actual messages. So basically that post I made on here about you, that was basically a termination note. Now, I don't know what that post is. I'm eager to see if that post exists somewhere. I'm planning to, you know, pass away today. This is not a joke in all caps. You'll probably hear about me on the news. This is my last goodbye. I love you. See you again in another life. Signed Audrey, parentheses, Aiden. A lot of people are like, why did they sign it that way? Well, they did. The person replied, Audrey, you have so much more. I'm sorry, loser, you have so much more in life to live for. I pray God keeps and covers you. I know, but I don't want to live, so I'm sorry. I'm not trying to upset you or get attention. I just need to pass away. I wanted to tell you first because you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen and known all my life. Simping into the afterlife here. You know, a lot of people said, you know, were critical of her friend, the loser's friend's reaction. You know, I think it's difficult because if you've dealt with anybody who has mental health issues, I have. I've had viewers email me this, you know, this kind of stuff. I've had people close to me who will kind of say this kind of stuff endlessly. So it gets harder and harder to take them seriously. People are like, why didn't they call the cops? Who knows how many times this person said something similar in the past and desensitized the person to the reaction. At no point in this video, in these messages, they indicate that they're going to go do something crazy, you know, or take anyone else with them. But they continue. This is my, one day this will make more sense. I've left behind more evidence, more than enough evidence behind. Something bad is about to happen. Now, the friend said that she did call the Nashville Davidson County Sheriff's Office to make them aware of the situation and was instructed to call the non-emergency number By then, MNPD says it was too late. This message was like literally sent from the parking lot, it looks like. After phone calls from friends and the name was released as the event happened, I learned that the loser was the person that did it. My heart is full with all the families affected. I'm devastated by what happened. Sounds like a good person, honestly. The friend, right? And, you know, it's... At no point in these messages did they... did this former friend, or did the loser say, hey, I'm going to go do something terrible to someone else? So, I mean, I don't know. You know, the initial message would be curious, to see, if it alluded to anything else, perhaps. It's tough to say. Now, PD did say that there was a manifesto left behind and a map used to plan the event. We also know that there was a second location that was passed over due to a threat analysis. They decided that it was too risky, not soft enough target. Well, I think that is certainly what I would expect of a coward, loser, piece of garbage to do. You know, I think the ultimate act, a lot of people will say, of cowardice is, you know, self-deletion. And I would maybe say selfishness. It seems callous to say, but it's just, you know, checking out doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt you. It hurts everyone else around you that cared about you. You know, hey, if you have chronic pain or something like that, I don't know. The more people like this exist, the more I'm starting to understand why Canada has the systems in place that they do. But, you know, I think this obviously deeply disturbed individual, a deeply unstable individual. What is in this manifesto, we may never know. I suspect at the rate at which things are being released, we may see it sooner than later, hopefully today. There are a lot of people suspecting the second location may have been another church or school, or perhaps even the Daily Wire was tossed around. There's a rumor going around about that. I think if I were that other location, I'd like to know that. You know, if there are other locations on this, you know, list, I think that would probably be something you'd want to share with the public. You know, as a private citizen, maybe I would avoid that place for a little while. Maybe there are other people. We don't know that she acted alone. We don't know that there weren't other people involved in planning. We don't know that, you know, these are many reasons why you released this. And on top of that, again, huge shout out to the officers involved and the quick dispatch. Certainly lives were saved. Then, so this morning, they released all of the body cam footage. It is heartbreaking at moments because at one point during the footage, you see a small area of a hallway blurred out that you know is clearly one of the young ones that didn't survive. Really brutal to see. I'm not going to play it in its entirety. I'm not going to play it really at all because I put it on. If you want to watch it, I put it on my Twitter. The full video uncut is on my Twitter. I don't know what YouTube would say about the footage, but I'm going to explain what happens in it for those people that don't want to watch it and just kind of know what happens. So in the footage, you see somebody meet them at the door and hand them keys. Very calm, cool, collected. They gain entry into the building. The entire incident basically was handled in under two minutes. 2 or 3 minutes. They get in. They move quickly through every doorway in tactical formation, pushing through, and the bravery. You can see that they're just obviously scared too. Why wouldn't they be? Imagine walking into a building and you're like, oh, here's a kid laying here. You know, it's wild. And you know, it's one of those things that I don't want to force people to see. I don't think it's really great that people see this all the time. You know, I don't think that it's good for people to consume this level of terribleness on a regular basis. It's just my opinion. And so I shared the footage, but I'm going to break down to what what somebody in the military said about it, okay? I don't know if they would want to be public, but they're a fellow YouTuber, and I really enjoy their work. So they said, those Nashville cops are great, but they weren't pushing hesitating officers. They were bumping them to let them know that they had caught up. Because there was a point where you see people get to a doorway, which is really a dangerous spot for somebody. It's a funnel, really, of pain. And it looks like they're kind of pushing them through, but they're really just bumping them to let them know, hey, I'm on your set. You know, I got you. Go, you know, advance. And they were infantry for 12 years, and this was amazing work, they said. Guy with the best weapon, which was the scoped rifle, kept bounding ahead. In the military, we would have used 80 men to secure the same size objective. 80. This was like 4. In the footage, yeah, I don't feel great showing you. Obviously, you can watch it if you want. But, you know, you see them, they act fast, they push through, they locate the spot where they're at, they turn around the corner, and she's reloading. They happen to come around the corner, apparently there's a reload that's happened, there's quick two-tap immediately, suspect goes down, the three or four officers surround them, someone with another officer puts a few extra holes in to secure the target, which I completely support, and that's the end of it. And that's exactly what, you know, those cops down in Texas should have done instead of sitting outside for an hour and a half. True bravery. The Nashville PD and these officers, heroic officers, huge shout out. You know, and this is how it's supposed to go. That's how it's supposed to go. And the footage is rough, you know. There's kids there, you know. So I'm glad that they ended it quickly. I'm glad that hopefully after today we don't have to talk about this loser anymore. You know, families have been torn apart by this, and it's rough. Okay, I need you to, this is one of those videos that absolutely need, everyone has to make sure you click the thumbs up button and make sure you click that share button down below and get this video out there, because what's been revealed now in this new banning of TikTok legislation is that the government is doing exactly what the government does, and the things that they packed into this bill to try and ban TikTok is legitimately terrifying. It's just like the Patriot Act, only even worse in many cases. They're running out. It's called the Restrict Act, and it is so intrusive, so ridiculously over the top that it even targets private users of VPNs with up to 20 years in prison. This is nuts. This went from something that basically everyone agreed with to now something that everyone needs to know about and needs to fight against. Of course, our government does this. White House in favor of bill to target TikTok. Now, we should have known something was afoot when so many Democrats were on board to also ban TikTok. It was weird that it had this bipartisan support. It was something I didn't really understand myself either. Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation on Sunday morning, Senator Mark Warner of Virginia said the proposed legislation had picked up support in his congressional chamber from 11 Democrats, of which he is one, as well as 11 Republicans. I think the White House is very in favor of this bill, said Warner, chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, without saying whether Biden's administration would push for these steps to be taken against TikTok. Warner added, we would give Secretary of Commerce the tools to ban or to force a sale. This is something that we're all basically okay with, right? Except that's not what it is. It actually goes much deeper. In fact, the bill to ban TikTok, this is from Greg Price, is absolutely terrifying. It gives the government the ability to go after anyone they deem, anyone they choose as a national security risk, at which point they can access everything from their computer to video games to their Ring doorbell camera. This is a Patriot Act for the internet. So let's look at Section 3, addressing information and communications technology products and the services that pose undue or unacceptable risk. The security, in consultation with the relevant executive department and agency heads, is authorized to and shall take action to identify, deter, disrupt, prevent, prohibit, investigate, or otherwise mitigate, including by negotiating, entering into, or imposing and enforcing any mitigation measure to address any risk arising from any covered transaction by any person or with respect to any property subject to jurisdiction of the United States that the Secretary determines. That includes desktop applications, mobile applications, gaming applications, payment applications, web-based applications. I mean, software, hardware, wireless networks, mobile networks, satellite payloads, satellite operations, long, short, and backhaul networks, edge computer platforms. I mean, everything. Everything. He continues, believe it or not, it gets even worse. If they find you in violation, they can put you in jail for 20 years, fine you $1 million, and seize your property. They can also deem any foreign government an adversary without informing charges, and everything they do is not subject to Freedom of Information Act queries. Civil penalties, a fine not more than $250,000 or an amount that is twice the value of the transaction. I mean, you have, this is insane. I thought this was about banning TikTok. If this was about banning TikTok, Greg writes, they would pass a bill that simply bans TikTok. But the Uniparty is trying to create the same system of domestic spying they did after the Twin Towers, but for the internet on steroids. It might as well have been written by the intelligence agencies as a full takeover of the federal government. I mean, it is absolutely insane. Here, Mindy Robinson writes, now we know why the feds are pushing to ban TikTok. The Restrict Act would allow feds to access all the data on our devices, including Ring and home security apps, and it'll be a crime to use a privacy device like a VPN. They've gone full 1984. You can see another good rundown of the Restrict Act. The Restrict Act would allow the government to access data on your video devices if it is a service that uses under 1 million people. This includes services like Ring, doorbell, in-home security cameras, and much more. A VPN won't help you get around this either. If you're caught using a privacy device such as a VPN, you will face up to 20 years in prison and or $1 million in fines. You see, Dr. Lynn Findarella writes, everyone needs to hear about the Restrict Act. This bill is currently known as the TikTok ban by many, but it looks as though we were all deceived again. The TikTok ban is nothing but a distraction while they push the Restrict Act into law. You see here, Mrs. Caucus, the Restrict Act is not limited to just TikTok. It gives the government authority over all forms of communication, domestic or abroad, and grants power to, quote, enforce any mitigation measures to address any risk, meaning they can do whatever they want to national security and now and future. A review and prohibit certain transactions between this person, the United States, and foreign adversaries, and for other purposes. I mean, this is, you know, or potential future transaction, a thought crime. So what happens if you're designated a national security threat? What can they access of yours to confirm it? Literally everything. Notice the preemptive attack on quantum encryption in there too. It also allows the Director of National Intelligence and Security for Commerce the authority to universally designate new foreign adversaries without notifying Congress and a 15-day window to even notify the President of the United States. It also requires a joint resolution of Congress to be able to even overturn it. If you recall from before, quote, foreign individuals can now also be U.S. citizens that are deemed a national security threat. Once designated, the bill grants authority to enforce any action deemed necessary to mitigate the threat with zero due process and few limits on punishments. After the federal government has detained you without due process to mitigate the, quote, immediate threat you pose, what kind of punishments await for you in court? Well, how about $1 million fine, 20 years in prison, and forfeiture of everything you own? And you might be saying, well, this is crazy. This is insanity. This can't possibly be real. Oh, but my friends, it is real. And the other thing is, look at how the federal government got involved. We know now factually with Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and presumably YouTube and all these other places. We know that the FBI was sending Twitter little tattletale notes over people that didn't even register, like 7 or 8 followers making some Trump tweet, and the FBI was freaking out. If this passes, it will be the greatest infringement on the United States citizens' rights in modern day history. Other than maybe lockdowns. The act also grants unlimited hiring power to positions of enforcement, unlimited funds with little or no renew, and immunity to the Freedom of Information Act, which means they can do whatever they want and never get caught. The bill that claims to protect U.S. interests from foreign entities allows the feds to classify anyone they deem is a security threat, even U.S. citizens, as foreign individuals, and gives them unlimited funds, unlimited hiring, no due process, and is immune from FOIA. Wanting to ban TikTok, actually getting tricked into banning Bitcoin by progressives. I mean, it was like, it's insane. For the purpose of this bill, by the way, a transaction is anything by anyone. It's insane. Good job, Mrs. Caucus. Like, this is the greatest infringement on American rights in history, in our history, you know, the people that are alive right now. And I mean, I guess since the Patriot Act, only this is worse. This is worse than the Patriot Act. They told us that they wanted to ban. Remember when the Patriot Act came out and they're like, don't you want to be safe? Then they're like, oh yeah, we can just wiretap whoever we want. Oh, and also let's get rid of online gambling. Let's get rid of online poker. We don't like that. What did that have to do with making people safe? Nothing. It was just in there. People said, I don't care. I want to be safe. Take these rights away from me. I just want to be safe. I mean, this is insane. This bill cannot pass. Make sure you leave a like on this video. Make sure you share this video. Make sure you get it out there on Facebook. Get it out there on Twitter, wherever you use, whatever you use. Make sure you subscribe and you turn notifications on right now, because I'll be following this one very closely. You're not going to want to miss anything. And of course, check out Private Internet Access while you can, apparently. This story keeps getting a little more weird, including what appears to be now a sudden reluctance to release information that would be very interesting to understand motive and potential other, you know, places this individual wanted to go. Suddenly, and with almost coordinated reports, the local PD there has decided that they are going to withhold potential this letter that was written. I think now this proves that it is probably, that it does probably name certain individuals, certain organizations, maybe in the area, or things of that nature. It's absolutely curious. You see this article here, Matt Walsh saying LGBT groups are now actively trying to prevent the release of the manifesto. They don't want anyone to know their rhetoric is radicalizing people. This is exactly why it must be released, and it must be released now. I 100% agree. And you see LGBTQ plus groups told Newsweek that publishing it from the perpetrator would have, quote, serious consequences. Is that a, it seems like some could be perceived that as a threat. Then, of course, Nashville PD said it won't make the manifesto public during an open investigation. Well, that's interesting to me because you made everything else public. I mean, we saw it actually go down. So why suddenly now are you not allowed to share this? This is very curious. And there's all sorts of other information going on out there that we're going to talk about. So we've got a couple of good news GoFundMes from one of the people that didn't survive. We have the left obsessing over a representative of Tennessee having a Christmas photo featuring himself being armed, and you have morons like Piers Morgan. By the way, like, people keep telling me that Piers Morgan is so smart, but like every time he has some sort of weird hot take, it's just so dumb. Especially when you're talking about 2A stuff, Pierce is just not very smart. I mean, I know he does good with the anti-woke stuff and things like that. But you see, yesterday, what happened everything that happened yesterday, the district in Nashville, Tennessee, is represented by Congressman Representative Andy Ogles. This was his family's Christmas card last year. So what? I legit don't understand why that should matter. That's like a classic Piers Morgan hot take, I guess. There's all sorts of other updates here too, because what's interesting is I want to know exactly what these other targets were. It turns out, according to these records, that not only were there more tools in the home that they released this morning, but the parents, she had hid them from their parents, apparently. Also, we found out this individual was being, quote, treated for an emotional disorder. Speaking to Fox News, they said that they legally obtained the tools that they used, but shouldn't have been in possession because she was being treated for an emotional disorder. It's unclear what disorder they had. Well, I have a feeling. And then they also have, so we now know, okay, they were being treated for something. I don't know what kind of pills they were on. What if they were on some sort of pills and the pharmaceutical companies don't want that to get out? I don't know. I mean, I'm just speculating. That's why we have to have the information. We also know that they also looked at, they strongly believe that this individual is going to go after their own family, as well as a local shopping mall. You see, quote, Nashville PD Chief John Drake said officials strongly believe that they were planning to go after individual family members as well, and one of the malls in Nashville. I've only been to one mall in Nashville. It's gigantic. I think it's the one with the Grand Ole Opry in it. But, you know, so now we know, okay, so there were multiple other targets. Geez, I wonder what was mentioned in this letter. Drake also said the student may have been fueled by, quote, resentment as they stage everything planned. The search of the home revealed additional weapons and additional maps indicating other potential targets. Which brings me back to, again, why is now Daily Caller? Nashville PD refuses to release the manifesto. I think that it's important to be released for many reasons. First of all, are there other targets in there? Did they work alone? I think people need to know this. I think that the mainstream media is extremely concerned about this. They're extremely concerned that there's going to be traces of the rhetoric that they've used. Now, I think, you know, I continue to want to point out to people that this is somebody who is mentally ill. And that is what led them to do this, I believe. I don't know anything else right now because they have not shared this particular important piece of information. Seems like everybody else's stuff gets out there. Although I remember they, like Google and stuff like that had banned the sharing of certain things. I wonder if YouTube will even allow coverage for it. They said, quote, "No, we will not be releasing the manifesto during an open investigation," the spokesperson said. I mean, I'm not exactly sure why you wouldn't. I mean, what's open in this still? I suppose there's questions of whether or not there might be other people involved, and that's why they don't want to release it. They wrote, "We have a manifesto. We have some writings that we're going over that pertain to this day. We have a map drawn out." What's interesting is, why aren't they releasing it? I think a lot of people feel like they have the right to know. A lot of people feel like they'll be safer if they know. Even CNN, of course. I mean, the mainstream media is covering it. Like, you know, I talked about this. There's this here. Reuters referred to this person as former Christian school student. If you're going to say that that's relevant, but not the fact that they were trans isn't relevant, then I don't. So just say 28-year-old female then. You know, I think that this is an interesting way to word it. Obviously, they get completely destroyed. Michael Malice, Cobra Press is the enemy of the people. I think it's extremely interesting. Newsweek writes, while it's not public, the PD Police Chief John Drake on Tuesday gave reporters their first glimpse into what it had. First glimpse. I suspect this will get out. I suspect people will find a way to get this out. You can see here, Drake ruled out rumors that the individual who sent vague messages to a friend hinting at doing something bad had specifically targeted any single person. What's interesting is inside the manifesto, there were multiple locations with detailed maps of those locations, as well as action plans describing how everything would be carried out. "We feel the students that were targeted were randomly targeted." He said there isn't any particular student there that she was looking at the time. However, he had little to offer in terms of specific motivation on why the loser, a transgender woman who identifies with he, his pronouns, a former student of school, decided to enter the building and do what they did. There's quite a bit of writing to it. "I have not read the whole entire thing. Our team and the FBI have been working on it." You know, what's interesting is, you know, wow, this really could have any kind of implications. What about if there was stuff that went on at the school? And would it be that unheard of? What if there's some weirdness that was going on at the school that this brought to light? And they want, you know, the church is a powerful thing. Now, in my experience, most of these ramblings, which is what they end up being, are incoherent and unhinged. But I think that obviously there's going to be a strong demand to see this released. I think that if this had happened at, let's say, a nightclub for a small section of the population, and then that there was some paperwork left behind by the person that did it, the left would be calling for its immediate release so that they could confirm their bias. So I think it's totally right and fair, correct, in this particular situation for the right or conservatives to be demanding the release of this thing. I suspect it won't be released anytime soon, maybe ever, which is very concerning. Well, looks like some interesting updates, perhaps, for the Tate brothers here. A wild rumor that I've dug around, at least everything publicly, to try and confirm, and I'll share with you at least what I have been able to find, that Andrew and his brother Tristan will be released tomorrow. The source of this rumor is maybe not the most well-liked guy, but he generally has some sources, some decent sources. And then I can add probably what he saw to prove this or to try and figure out where he got to this. So he tweeted out that Andrew and Tristan may be released tomorrow, which that is true. And I mean, that is of course true, and I'll explain why. But then he goes on to say, and it's likely they will be released this time. And I went through the comment section here to try and find like any actual evidence of it or any, you know, reason for him to believe that. And really, I couldn't find anything. You know, I think that at this point, you know, the guy has been in prison for many, many months without any charges whatsoever. And it certainly looks very suspicious. So here's what I've been able to track down. Of course, I'll be, if you haven't yet, make sure you click a like on the video and you click that red subscribe button down below. I'll be on this the instant we get an update. In the morning, I suspect it'll be maybe 6-7 o'clock in the morning here when we get a result or a review, but or an update. This is from Andrew Tate Updates that says the decision for an appeal for whether or not Andrew and Tristan will be released has been delayed until tomorrow. So the fact that it's been delayed could indicate some other stuff, which we've also seen allegedly the U.S. Embassy getting involved. So hold on a second now. It's getting wild. This is Andrew Tate is in a good mood and strong in mind as always. He's seen here laughing after a woman yells, Tristan, I love you. You see here's Tristan here, and then there's Andrew there. So, I mean, you know, you see, haha, they know, they look happy and healthy, you know, they haven't lost hope. I'm thinking that, like, you know, I've obviously the people that are, you know, for me, my support of him being released is a purely legal one. I was not like a hardcore Tate bro watching his content and stuff like that. I mean, it was funny watching him make feminist heads kind of explode, but for the most part, you know, I'm not emotionally invested in this. If you've been following my Tate coverage, I've tried to remain somewhat neutral here. There are things that have obviously have been said about him or things that that have been claimed that he has done that is, they are all very bad, but none of them have been proven. What we have is some statements from people. Some of them have been recanted. We have the Romanian government seemingly needing month after month after month after month after month to actually build a case. And at this point, they're actually running out of time. Now, maybe the release, what does a release look like? Well, let's go to this other video. That this video was also released just a few days ago, and this is probably what kind of got the rumor mill going. So this is allegedly a video of the Tate brothers' attorney, one of them, Tina Glandian, clearing up some misconceptions, saying that in this video, we are grateful that the U.S. Embassy is taking an interest in this case. You know, that's what's interesting to me. I'm wondering, you know, he is a United States citizen. So, you know, at some point, the guy's got to get his day in court. And perhaps they were able to petition the United States, U.S. Embassy. But, or maybe, some people say the U.S. Embassy stepping in might be a bad thing. There's a reason to believe that the U.S. was who pressured Romania to have him locked up in the first place. Certainly, like, after all this stuff's been going on, I mean, certainly I would say that there's more fuel to the fire that this was a political thing. That doesn't mean that he didn't do these bad things, but you would think by now they might be able to actually prove it. And I'll just show a little clip of this. And then there's another article that seems to kind of seems like some people have some feelings.
I'm Tina Glandian. I'm a U.S. attorney, and I represent Andrew and Tristan Tate alongside their Romania legal defense team. I wanted to respond to recent news accounts about a legal letter sent on behalf of the Tate brothers, which has wrongfully been interpreted by some people as an effort to intimidate witnesses in the criminal investigation pending in Romania. I'd like to provide some context for the letter that was sent. In April of last year, two women, including an American woman, made allegations that the Tate brothers were holding them against their will. When police raided the Tate brothers' residence in Romania, they saw there was no evidence of these claims and the Tate brothers were not arrested. Through their attorneys, they immediately filed criminal complaints against the two women in Romania for deceiving the police.
If that's all true, that does not, I mean, why would that be a bad thing? I think that that's, you know, we see this kind of stuff all the time. There's a, is it Michael Irvin right now? That's like countersuing. He's, this woman tried to ruin his life because she didn't like the interaction they had in some hotel or something. So it's, you know, it's a possible thing.
At the end of January, after having been detained for an entire month and seeing that in the 9 months that had passed, there had been no development in the criminal case against the two women, as U.S. citizens, they decided to pursue their legal rights here in the U.S. against the American woman. My firm had no involvement in sending the cease and desist letter, nor did the Romanian legal team representing the Tate brothers in the criminal investigation. The cease and desist letter was sent by civil attorneys in the U.S. because it pertains to a civil defamation case which will be filed here in the U.S. Every day that the Tate brothers are unlawfully detained, they are not only harmed on a personal level, but they also incur substantial monetary damages to the various businesses which they were running before their sudden arrest. So they have a duty under the law here to mitigate their damages, and their civil attorney believed a cease and desist letter was a necessary first step before ultimately filing the civil lawsuit. To be clear, the Tate brothers are not trying to intimidate anyone. They just want the truth to come out, and they're having their attorneys pursue all of...
Look, if somebody makes a false claim against you, there should be a penalty for that. Too many people feel way too comfortable doing that kind of stuff, and a lot of it was powered from the hashtag Believe All Women. Now, again, I'm not saying that the things that are untrue, but... You know, generally guilty people probably aren't like countersuing and for defamation. You know, I guess maybe they are. Maybe it's like fourth dimensional chess. But then there's this article today or yesterday. Andrew Tate receives boost as U.S. embassy becomes involved in case. I mean, this, if he's freed tomorrow, this would be one of the biggest stories in terms of at least of internet culture in a very long time. Now, Andrew Tate's lawyer has claimed that the influencer and his brother are receiving assistance from the U.S. Embassy in Romania, where they remain in jail. Tate, who was born in the United States and mostly raised in England, was arrested with his brother in December on various accusations. They have been held in custody in Bucharest jail. Andrew is also facing another charge. The thing is, they've had their time in custody extended for the further 30 days and request of prosecutors. Now the Tate's attorney has claimed that the U.S. Embassy in Bucharest has taken an interest in the case and invoked the recent government involvement in the WNBA star Brittany Griner and the Navy veteran Taylor Dudley's return home after being jailed from Russia. So this is why people think tomorrow's going to be the day. Glandian appeared in a video post to Twitter where she read a prepared statement. We're grateful for the U.S. Embassy has now taken interest in the case. I know that one of the highest priorities is to provide assistance to U.S. citizens detained abroad, like they've done for countless other U.S. citizens, and recently for Brittany Griner and Taylor Dudley. We are optimistic that with their assistance, we can finally get them home in the face of their prolonged detention. We must remember that they are presumed innocent, and the false claims can provide irreparable harm. Now, the U.S. State Department and its embassies make it their highest priority to provide assistance to U.S. citizens incarcerated abroad. However, the U.S. government, through its embassies and consul, cannot get U.S. citizens out of jail or declare a person's innocence or guilt to go to court. The embassies also cannot provide legal advice or represent citizens in court. So what's interesting here is, you know, these, perhaps they're providing some pressure, to say, look, you got to, in the U.S. embassy, I'm guessing, probably came as a, come on, guys, you got to charge them. Like, you're holding him without charges right now. At least charge the guy. So I'm thinking that what you may see tomorrow is some formal charges, but also you might actually see them get released because they can't put together a case. And in that doesn't mean they'll never be arrested again, but I think at some point here, they've got to make the case. And they've got to, like, actually put it together. Otherwise, you're literally detaining a United States citizen without charges. For all the hate the guy gets, I don't care about that. If he did what he did, charge him and sentence him so he can start doing his time. If he didn't do what he did, what you say he did, you need to release him. This is pretty simple. It's not a do you back Andrew or not. It's a, you know, the internet wants to talk about how, you know, they because they don't like him, they want to believe everything that has happened, and maybe some level of this stuff is true. I don't know, but all I can say is, look, you gotta charges have to happen. Otherwise, you gotta cut the guys loose. That's just the way it is. So we'll have to, I guess we'll see tomorrow morning. Stay tuned here. Make sure you subscribe and you turn notifications on, and I'll report the second I have an update. But this could be good news for the Tate brothers.